Welcome! You are listening to the Lancer Radio Network here on Pasadena City College at www.lancerradio.org. We are the Otaku Centric. We are a new show. And I am your host, Nao Senpai. Senpai means your superior. And with me is Max. Hi, Max.
Hello, my name is Max Navarro, and I am here to learn from Naomi, my senpai, or my superior, as you just said. And we are going to be talking about not only just Japanese culture, but the type of experiences that Japanese culture can lead to, such as anime, games, manga, music. It's going to be a lot of different topics we cover here, and I'm just really excited. I'm actually shaking, and I shouldn't be this excited, but this is really cool.
Yeah, we do have a lot to cover. We're first covering what otaku is. Secondly, we'll have an anime review of Terror and Resonance, Zankyo no Terra in Japanese, and we'll have the big Tokyo Game Show. So let's get started, shall we? For those of you that already know the Japanese anime, manga, game subculture, and understands what otaku is, great. But for those of you that are not familiar with the Japanese subculture, in fact, this is your first time hearing the term otaku, just what does it mean? Let me explain. When you're an otaku, it means that you have an obsessive interest in Japanese anime, manga, or games. Believe it or not, even the dictionary.com and the oxforddictionaries.com has this noun listed on their websites. You can even categorize your otaku-ness, so let's take a look at those categories, shall we? An article on Rocket News 24, a news blog based off in Japan, wrote on these categories. Number 1. Content supporter. The word contents is used in Japanese to refer to merchandise. You collect official novelizations, manga, and DVDs of your favorite works. In other words, you're a fan. Perhaps you might sound like this, like Kayo Gotokuji from the anime Sabagebu.
DOT series wa anime ban de mita. Doujinshi wa koushiki bon wa motteru.
Number 2. Flat supporter. You only watch or read what's recommended. And that's it. Number 3. Event participant. You can be found at fan events and at Pixiv, which is a Japanese online community for artists. Number 4. Poster and figure collector. You have the most otaku-ish room. You prioritize visual fun. Sometimes you may even buy a poster or a figure you may not know just because you like it. Perhaps you might be able to relate to Mikoto Mikoshiba from Monthly Girls Nozaki-kun. Number 5. Devoted to anime, manga, and games. You're always looking for the next great thing to get obsessed with. Number 6. Everything. You're the economic god who supports the industry. We bow down before your stratospheric spending power. So those were just the basic 6 types of degree in otaku-ness. By the way, your host Nao-senpai is types 4 and 5. Now, if you remember, I described otaku as someone who has an obsessive interest in Japanese anime, manga, or games. However, that seems to have changed in the past few years. Or perhaps should I say branched out? Nowadays, not only are anime, manga, or games considered otaku hobbies, but also train fans, like the main character Takayama from the anime Rail Wars, speaking out his love and knowledge towards train to his colleague Haruka Komi in episode 1, like this.
Saikou da ne, Shindai Tokyu Hayabusa. 新型電気機関車 EF68 オールダブルデッカー車の 28K 寝台客車。
本当に電車が好きなのね。
そりゃもう一家に一両は欲しいよね。
Idol fans, like fans of the idol group AKB48 or Momoiro Clover Z. Some idol fans are referred uniquely, like how Lady Gaga calls her fans little monsters. Momoiro Clover Z, or Momokuro for short, fans are called Mononofu, which is similar to samurai. A fan of an idol group that's part of the Johnny Associates, one of the most famous talent agencies in Japan, is called Johnny Ota. And we cannot forget voiceover fans. Nowadays, voiceover is big both in US and Japan. There are even female voicers that are categorized as idol seiyu. Seiyu is voicer in Japanese. Voiceover talents are so huge, they even have concerts or events unrelated to anime.
Oh!
I'm sure by now you may be thinking, so what's the difference in otaku versus a mania? This question still has people thinking. Even experts do not have the exact answer for it, but Japanese linguistic expert Hideo Kindaichi, specializing in Japanese language, verbal behavior, and semantics, has stated in a Japanese TV show that the difference in otaku versus a mania is... A mania is one who is enthusiastic about that certain subject or a person, and an otaku is one who only has an interest in that certain subject or a person. That sounds about right. The expert in Japanese is explaining it this way, so it must be right. Right? However, as a lifelong otaku myself, I do think many of us otakus are also enthusiastic about the things we are interested. Another explanation that got me nodded more was from one of the founders of the very famous Japanese anime studio Gainax Company Limited, Toshio Okada, writing in one of his books, quote, "If they've created their own unique culture or not is the difference between an otaku and a mania. Manias cannot, but otakus can create their own culture by dressing or talking in such otaku-ish manner," end quote. So there isn't a right or a wrong answer in differentiating otaku and manias. But there is one thing for sure. Whatever we call ourselves, we have the biggest passion towards it.
Yeah! Exactly. Definitely. That's a really well-produced piece, and it is
really?
a decent introduction into letting everybody know.
Wow, what thank you.
Yeah. I know what exactly otaku culture is. If that came across to some viewers, or I should say listeners, mm-hmm. as a bit heavy-handed, don't worry. It's not like we're going to be giving the scientific breakdown of, you know, what an otaku is and what they eat, breathe, and drink. But we are going to be just kind of taking this one step at a time.
Yeah, because the thing about otaku culture is it's a culture, literally. And
well, then maybe we are going to be talking about what they eat, sleep, so, and breathe, and drink.
It might take a long time understanding the concept, but our goal for the show is to introduce it to the non-familiar people, as I said. So by the end of the semester, hopefully you'll be like, oh, Japanese subculture is so cool, and you'll be one of us.
And even if somebody doesn't think that this might be down their alley, there are a lot of things that are in Western culture, that, especially pop culture, that have permeated from Japanese culture.
And right, exactly.
There's plenty of crossover. And it's a path that works both ways.
And I didn't know this myself, but Transformer idea actually came from Japan.
Yeah, definitely. And another example would be Power Rangers.
Right.
Mighty Morphin Power Rangers, a show that came out in the 90s, definitely had major influences from Japanese programming.
Exactly. So, but Max, I'm curious because I'm Japanese, so I'm always touching anime or manga or games. So I do have, well, it just naturally came to me. But how did you get introduced to the otaku culture?
Well, that's the thing. I try not to label myself too much. However, I guess my interests do align very much with the otaku culture. I started watching anime shows without realizing that they were anime when they were airing on cable networks,
really?
Like Cartoon Network.
Like what?
They had general examples like Pokemon. That was a huge fad,
okay,
that happened in the early 2000s.
Right.
And there were plenty of kids from all nations who loved that show. And obviously that came from Japan. You have Dragon Ball Z, Sailor Moon, plenty of shows that got localized and allowed for people to broaden their horizons.
Yeah, and the weird thing about Sailor Moon or Pokemon or those mainstream anime, people who like them don't really consider themselves otaku, and at least in my knowledge. So I wonder, where's the boundary of who's otaku and who's not?
I think it's just for those people who took that extra step, you know, for those people who saw Dragon Ball Z or Sailor Moon and then went, hey, time to check out something different.
Uh-huh. So, like, if you're just playing the game or if you're just watching an anime, you're not considered an otaku. Well, this is what my friend said. Just because you watched one anime doesn't make you an otaku.
I think labels might be, you know, a very gray area, you know, so
right.
Maybe you might have otaku interests, but you might not call yourself one. And if you do, and you have seen one anime, who am I to say you're not otaku? I think it's a culture that should be, embracing. And you, obviously, there are many different facets of it, as we heard from your little segment.
Right, right. Yeah, that's totally understandable. And I guess it's just Japanese people, but we tend to like to label ourselves. We tend to call ourselves otaku or non-otaku, and otaku was something so disappointing for many people. It was so negative. So, like, telling yourself that you're an otaku was something like, huh, you want to actually label yourself otaku?
Exactly. I know it's far from a scientific source, but in just preparing for this show, I was checking out everybody's definition of otaku, and one of the most fascinating ones was Urban Dictionary, where they said Western culture appreciates it, where Japanese culture kind of frowns upon it.
Yeah, I guess so.